Hello again, everyone, and welcome to another exciting broadcast of Deep Coffee in the Deep. I am your host, Jeremy Lopez, and today I want to take a couple of minutes to talk to you about being faithful with much. The reason why is because, you know, so many people struggle today with little and much. If you think about it, the whole world right now is determined by your status of rich or poor. What side of town do you live on? And then the majority of people want to have more money. How many of you out there in the listening audience want to have more money? Let's just face it, folks. You know, you might say, well, that's just not spiritual, or that is spiritual. However you look at it, it is of God. God is the God of abundance. God wants us to have a plentiful amount. God is the God of overflow. God is the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And guess what? If you study Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, you'll find out they never suffered financially. You'll find out King David never suffered financially. You'll find out Abraham, Moses never suffered financially. In fact, God put Moses and the children of Israel, man, He set them with a fullness of an abundance when they, you know, went to the wilderness. And so God desires for us to have an abundance. Now, that's actually not what I'm going to talk about today. But what I want to talk about to you today is learning to be faithful with much. The reason why, because Jesus said something very powerful, very interesting, that we never look at. And the words Jesus used was, he says, to him who has shall be given more, and to he who has not shall be taken away. Now let's read that one more time. To he who has will be given more. To he who has less will be taken away. And the reason why is because of the fact, it depends on whatever version you read, it still says the same thing. That to he who has a lot, in other words, to the person that has a lot, God's going to give them more. And the person who doesn't have a whole lot, God's going to take away from them. Now, I remember back in the day when I was putting my School of the Financial Perception and Mental Economics course together, I remember asking the Lord on that verse. I said, Lord, it sounds a little mean, you know, when you think about it, because doesn't the poor need to have money? Doesn't the poor, are they the ones that need to be blessed? And yet Jesus said something very interesting in the scriptures. He said, you will always have the poor among you. You'll always have the sick among you. You'll always have those that are, let's say it this way, that are less fortunate than yourself, always among you. You know, the world is full of people who have a lot, and the world is full of people who have hardly nothing. You'll always have a community of people around you who struggle constantly. Many of you in your family right now probably have a lot of people around you who are constantly struggling. And yet, you might say to yourself, well, I'm doing okay. You know, I mean, I don't have anything to really brag about, but I also don't have anything to complain about either. But yet, in actuality, we're all surrounded by people, and maybe including yourself, who actually want more. And when Jesus said this in the verses about to he who has less, you know, shall be taken away from, and then the first part of it says what, to he who has a lot, basically Jesus is going to give them more. And the reason why is because most people don't realize that God is requiring for us to learn to be faithful. We have got to learn to be faithful with, one scripture says that which belongs to another man. In other words, you have to be faithful to the things that belong to other people. How do you treat those things that belong to someone else? When you borrow something from someone, you know, or let's say you're house sitting, or you're taking care of their animal, or they let you borrow $10, let you borrow $1,000. You know, when you begin to take care of someone else's things and treat them like your own, and then give them back to that person as if it were better than the way it became to you, then guess what? God honors that. And that's one reason why a lot of people have a lot of things and continue to have a lot of things and accumulate a lot of things, or money, or blessings, or favor, promotion, whatever you want to call it. And those who do not, God always takes it away from them. And the reason why, because God wants to see if you're faithful in the small things. One verse says, you know, if you're faithful in the small things, God will make you faithful and ruler over many things. Because God wants to see how you will treat the things you have. If you do not treat the things you have with integrity and with basically respect, guess what? God will see to it that you will not be blessed any more than the level you're on currently. Even though the Bible says we go from glory to glory. Now, is life all about money? Absolutely not. But I'll tell you one thing, we know money enters all things in the natural, does it not? Bible never says glory enters all things. Bible never says, you know, that your anointing you know, enters all things. Because in the natural, people listen to money. Money is used to buy, say, and sell and trade. Money buys you food. Anointing doesn't buy your food, folks. And glory doesn't supply your house. But money does. Because money is a spiritual, powerful tool and weapon. And that's the problem with most people. When they look at things and money as being unspiritual, then God will make sure that they don't have any more of those things because they have stripped it away from their power and the actual principle of what it is God has initiated within the things or the money. Because God knows that if you're faithful with your money, you know, how many of the Bible makes it plain that there's very few times God ever talks about him being either jealous or, you know, or basically, you know, he'll curse you, you know, if you don't want pay your tithes and offerings. The Malachi makes that very plain. You know, it makes, you know, bring all the tithes into the storehouse. You know, that there might be meat upon the table, that there may be meat upon the table. So God wants to be able to provide you the meat or the quality of life, the abundance of life, but you have to learn to be faithful with giving to God what belongs to God. You have to be faithful with giving other people what belongs to other people. You have to be faithful in giving to yourself the things that you know you deserve according to the will of God. In other words, if you find yourself, I have many people I know in my life who love to shop thrift stores, and here's the idea. Nothing's wrong with that. If you, you know, every once in a while it's fun to go into a place and see if you can find some old antiques or some old, you know, hand-me-downs and see, you know, what you can do with them. You know, it's fun to do that. But if you live your life based on that principle, as if that's all you deserve, or maybe, you know, I don't want to buy new things because everything is always expensive, God will literally look at you and say, you know what, you're not ready for more things. If you're ready for an abundance of wealth in the spirit, and you get your mind at a place, you know, your body, you know, they're talking about the soul, the mind, will, and the emotions, that when your soul begins to prosper to that level, to handle bigger things, that's when God blesses you. But if your soul hasn't prospered to that level, God will see to it you will not have anything more. And so you have to learn to be able to bring your body and your mind and your soul and your spirit all under the subjection, knowing of God, knowing that God wants to cause you to go from glory to glory. And you've got to learn to be faithful with other people's things. You have to learn to be faithful with the things that God has brought you, because bottom line, folks, is if you're not faithful with the things that God has presented to you, and you treat it as cheap and non-importance, but you're just waiting on your sweet boat to come on by and take you away, or you're waiting on some greener grass on the other side mentality to come and just sort of like a Calgon commercial to take you away, and because, you know, you don't care about the old little things you have, then God will see to it you don't have anything else above what you're, the level you're thinking on at that moment. Because how you treat things and how you treat money, folks, I have news for you. These are keys. Things and money are keys in the kingdom of God. You know, if we didn't have money, you know, Bibles could not be purchased. Buildings could not be bought. You know, you have things in the kingdom that has to revolve around money, because money is the one that purchases it, builds it, puts it together, strips it, adds to it. That's what money does. And so therefore, when you look at that idea, you have to remember that life is not about money, but life is about learning how to treat the wealth that you are, the wealth that your mind should prosper to and towards, and also the very nature of money itself and the things in which you have in your home, or your home, or your car, or your job, or the clothes you have, because God sees those small things as big things, even though you see them as small things. And God always calls those things that be not as though they were. So God sees you as already treating the valuable big things in your life. That's how God already sees you doing it. The problem with us is we're too busy seeing those big things that God has already called to be something else. We still treat it as if it were nothing, as if it were void, as if it were insignificant, as if it were poor or poverty mentality or cheap, because I don't want to live in a trailer. I want to live in a home. I want to live in a big home. I don't live in an apartment. I want to live in a mansion. And so we treat the things we have as if they were, you know, horrible or demonic or evil. And guess what God does? God says, I cannot bless you above what you treat the things I've given you. God will never bless you above how you treat people. God will never bless you above how you treat people and things and His Word and everything. I mean, the Bible makes it plain when it says, you know, if you've done it to the least of these, you have done it unto Me. Everything in creation, folks, here's the way I look at it. You know, it's the idea that people look at it and they say, well, you know, I can love this person, but I have to love them from afar because they're a sinner. They're not like me. They're not equal to me because I'm in the body of Christ, but God loves them. Then you know what? You'll never prosper. Mentally, spiritually, socially, relationally, prosper economically, you will not prosper in any shape, form, or fashion, period, spiritually or naturally, because God doesn't like that mentality. God does not like that mentality as if you were separating yourself from people who have leprosy, because God doesn't like that. Why? Because if you've done it to these things or these people, if you've done it to money, if you've done it to people, if you've done it to church buildings, if you've done it to your car, if you've done it to things, if you've done it to your home, you have done it unto Him, because God is the author and finisher of not just our faith, but guess what? The Bible says by the span of His hand, He set the heavens in place, which means God is the author and finisher of all things. And in fact, the Bible says all things were created by Me. Now, most Baptists and Charismatics do have a little issue with the Scripture, but you know, I choose to see a God of all things, not a God of some things, not a God of a rescue and a few, or just a couple out of here before the world gets this worse. I'm not into that theology. I'm into victory. I'm into dominion. I'm into knowing that when Jesus said it's finished, that means it's done. He's done for humanity. It's done for creation. It's done. I'm into a God that's not trying to save a few or grab a hold of some while evil takes over. That's a ridiculous message of the gospel, because it's not even a scriptural one. I'm into God being Lord of all, that the Bible says. He is Lord of all, or He's Lord of none. He can't be Lord of some. He's either for it or against it. That's what He tells us to do. You're either for Me or against Me. So either God has all creation or He has no creation. Are you with me? And therefore, God would never ask anything from us if He can't do it Himself. That's just the nature of God. And so therefore, whatever it is you have in your life, you've got to treat it as if it is God. You have to treat it as if it is from God, because guess what? It is from God. And if you've done it to this or these or those, guess what? You have done it unto Him. And so you can't just look and say, well, that's just about people, Jeremy. No, it's about creation. It's about anything and everything, because everything was created by God. In fact, what's really interesting is science even backs up the point that even we're made even of the same essence of stardust. And you know what? We don't see that as New Age. That's just ridiculous. We see that as science. We see it as factual, because everything was created out of the mouth of God by the pneuma, or the wind, or the breath of God. And so because of that, it's the pneuma. It's the breathing of God's life within His breath that caused the heavens and the earth and the stars and the planets and money and trees and valleys and cars and universes, guess what, to all be blown out of His mouth by the pneuma, wind of God. So everything is breathed out of a life-giving Spirit. And so because of that, God looks at us to see, how are you treating everything? Everyone and everything, because how you treat all the everyone and everything is going to determine on your prosperity mentally, physically, soulishly, and spiritually. So if you're the kind of person who just wants to serve God and just bless the body of Christ, and you know, you don't care about money, because that's not the gospel, and I don't really care about what happens to my car, my home, my house, and everything else, guess what? Then you'll never have anything better than what you have now, because God sees these things. Because you know, folks, you know what I've realized in my life? God created metal. The same metal that put your car together, God created that metal. It's an element of this earth that God created, because there's nothing on earth that God did not create. And the scripture that really bothers people is when God says, all things were made. Now, all means all, folks. It doesn't mean some. You know, this little separation of us and them has got to stop, because it's unscriptural. It's the idea of all things were created by Me, and He says, for Me. So everything in the universe was created for God's pleasure. Everything was created by Him and for Him. And so it's not just made by Him and He subtracts things from Him, or he divides things, or he multiplies this, but He separates Himself from this, or He creates something and He sits it aside way over here while He goes the opposite extreme. That's not scriptural. He says, all things were made by Me and for Me, and without Me there was not anything made that was made. So therefore, guess what? God sees everything that you have, everything that you're wearing, everything that you live in, everything that you sleep in, you drive in, you know, the people, you know, the spouse you have, the neighbor, the people in your job, the plants, the trees, the valleys, the animals, everything in creation, God looks at to see exactly how you treat creation. And how you treat creation will be based on what it is, the level you're going to go to in your life. That's just the bottom line. And so when God says, look, to he who has shall be given more, because I can look at that. This is what I feel like God was saying, is because in the scripture, because the things that people have, I can tell he treated good, obviously. So they're going to be given more. And those who disrespect where they live, they don't clean up their house, they don't clean up the garbage in their neighbor's yard, in their yard, or they throw things out while they're driving down the road, they throw their Coke cans. And see, many people say, well, it's all those beer cans. No, it's your Coke cans as well. It's your wrappers from your candy bars. It's all these things, and how you treat things is how God will treat you back, folks. Because what a man sows is what a man reaps. Now, many of people don't realize this is not about money, folks. This is about life. This is about life and what you sow. When you throw paper, and this will really tell you about the principles of the kingdom of the universe. And that is, when you throw paper outside your window when you're driving down the street, guess what? You're sowing paper into the creation, into the universe. You're sowing paper. You're sowing garbage into creation. What do you think you're going to get back from creation? You're going to get garbage back into your life. Because what a man sows is what he reaps back. You might say, well, why would you say we're going to reap it back from creation and not God? Because ultimately everything comes from God. But here's the idea, that what you sow it into, that same thing you sow into is going to give you back that same amount. Because if I give to the bank, if I make an investment in the bank, for example, and I say, for example, I'm going to invest, $10,000, and I've got my interest and how much I'm going to make from it, guess what? I can't expect the grocery store down the street to give that back to me. I have to expect that bank to give it back to me, because that's where I put it. So where I put it is where I'm going to get it back, the return. And so you have to look at your life to understand. Many people think, well, I do this with life coaching people all the time. Well, Brother Jeremy, I pay my tithes. Why is the devil after me? I give good offerings to the church. Why can't I find myself prospering? And I say, well, let's evaluate your life. That's great that you give to the church. It's good that you bless your brothers and sisters in the Lord. But what are you doing for the neighbor down the street that you can't stand? What are you giving to the Buddhist down the street that you can't stand? How are you treating, the gay person that's five rows down from you in the grocery store? How are you treating the Muslim, that is, three doors down from you? How are you treating the person who cuts you off the road? How are you treating your finances? How are you treating your clothes? Do you just tear your clothes up thinking, well, it's cheap anyway, I don't mind, I'll just throw it in the garbage and buy a new one? How are you treating life? Because what you sow into, that thing of creation will make sure that you reap it back. So folks, I have news for you. We have to look at the universe and understand the kingdom of God is in us. And the kingdom of God, the universe is wrapped up inside the kingdom of God. And you know what the Bible says? If you seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, all these other things shall be added unto you. So folks, we're dealing with the kingdom of God. We're dealing with, when you sow into the kingdom of God, no matter what avenue it is you choose to sow into, whether it's throw garbage on the streets, whether it's slap your wife, I'm just being honest with you. Guess what? You're going to get slapped back in return one day. Whatever it is you do in this in creation, it's going to come back to you. And here's the bad thing about it. You give and it shall be given. Folks, I have news for you. This goes into every area of your entire life. Given it shall be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. That sounds wonderful and prosperous, but I have news for you. It can also revert to you in a negative way to you. You better be careful what you give and give into. What you give into, you're gonna reap back. And you're gonna reap it back. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. Folks, this is not just a positive thing. This is a negative thing. And that's the thing that people don't realize, is they say, well, positively, I'm speaking. Positively, I'm sowing my seed positively. But that's great to the kingdom. But God doesn't look at the things that you do before him and before the people. God looks at the things you do behind closed doors. God looks at the candy wrappers we talked about earlier that you throw outside the window of your car. Hello. God cares about how you treat the neighbor's animal when, not knowing that the animal doesn't have a brain like you as a human, and it comes into your yard and you throw a rock at it, or you beat it, or you hit it, or I've we've seen on the news before where people have, these are sadistic, warped, horrible, twisted people where they have fed dogs antifreeze because of the fact, just to be evil and mean. And folks, you know what? That's going to come back upon them. God will see to it that comes back upon them in some shape, form, or fashion. Because you know what's going to happen is we have to look at this creation. creation and universe to understand that whatever you sow, you reap. And he who has a lot, it's how you treat it. God's going to see to it. You keep on getting more and more. So you will be in line with the kingdom to go from glory to glory, from faith to faith. And those who do not, those who abuse and abandon and just strip and just tarnish and just destroy and stretch and do whatever negatively, guess what, folks? It's going to come back upon you. And so you have to be careful knowing that everything and everyone is what God looks at you to see exactly how you're treating them. And if you're faithful in the small things, no matter what it is, if you're faithful to pick up garbage off the side of the street somewhere, folks, you will reap that back in a positive way. If you're faithful to give a smile to somebody, God will see to it that you reap that back one day. If you treat the neighbor's animal, let's say they're out of town and they forgot to feed their dog or cat, and you say, man, I just recognize this poor dog. I wonder if they forgot about it. And maybe you take it in and take care of it while they're out of town. Or maybe you feed it because, you don't know when they're going to be back, and maybe they just forgot about something. Guess what? God will see to it, folks. You are blessed back from that. And so look at the universe and realize God created this amazing, wonderful, splendid, glorious, anointed universe for us. And God looks at every little thing we do and recognizes every little thing that we say and how we treat every little thing and everyone. And he says, this will depend on how much you will have in your life. I have set my life before the Lord years and years ago to make sure I treat everything that I have, including money, everything with power, with integrity and respect. I don't throw away things. I make sure that I'm giving them back to other people to bless them. I do anything and everything I possibly can to make sure, being eco-friendly, I make sure that everything is respected and hopefully turned back around to where it can be recycled or use natural products on my skin or my hair or whatever it is, because of the fact, you know what? I want to make sure I treat the body, my temple, with respect and honor and dignity, without putting chemicals on it the best I can, or doing that for other people, or whatever it is, folks. Whatever it is you know that God is revealing to you, ask Him. Say, God, reveal to me why I'm not being blessed. Reveal to me, God, what I can learn to respect that I've overlooked for so long. I guarantee you, folks, God will pour down upon you this amazing revelation and show you things you can be in the midst of maybe being cursed in that God wants to turn around for your good. And so look at everything around you and realize, you know what, it's time for you to climb up the ladder of the kingdom, and knowing that he who has, God will give them back more than ever imagined, thought, or has even entered into their heart, the things that God has prepared for us. By the way, folks, I want to encourage you, if you get a chance, to go to our website today, identitynetwork.net. I want to encourage you today, if you want to know more about maybe stuff that I talked about, maybe the things you heard in this broadcast is, you might be like saying, well, this sounds so interesting. Wow, I just never thought of it that way before. I want to encourage you in something. We just put on sale our digital download course called the School of Financial Perception and Mental Economics. I'll say it again. It's our School of Financial Perception and Mental Economics. And it's a digital download course, and you can order it as a hard copy as well. But the whole course is, I think it's 4 to 6 week course. You'll get tons of teaching modules. You'll get some DVDs. You'll get a book included with it, which is an ebook on digital download. You'll get all of that stuff. I mean, you're talking, folks, things that are going to be hundreds and hundreds of dollars worth of value as a course that literally can change your world spiritually, soulishly, and naturally. I deal with natural things like credit card debt, how to get out of credit card debt. Owning several businesses, I can tell you, I know what I'm talking about. This is not a statement by faith, folks. I tell people all the time, it's great that you believe God by faith, but if your faith is not made your reality, after a while, something's wrong. Because faith has to manifest eventually. And if not, you're just wishful thinking. Somewhere in your faith, there's something off there, because until it's manifest, it's really just wishful thinking. And so you have to have your faith to be able to be set into operation in order for it to manifest. True faith only manifests. And so when you look at that, I want to teach you and train you through our course of School of Financial Perception and Mental Economics how to prosper mentally, soulishly, and physically. And that way your world will be turned upside down, and you'll know how to get into the vein of God to get yourself in promotion and favor with the kingdom of God. And so I want to encourage you. We talk about credit card debt. We talk about mental wealth capacity. We talk about all these different things, how to consolidate your bills. We talk about everything from the soulless part. I talk about tithing. I talk about offerings. I talk about secrets and stuff and mysteries you've never heard before of tithing. I can guarantee you that. And so I want to encourage you, go to the website today, and that is www.identitynetwork.net. And in the search engine at the top, you just put in School of Financial Perception. And if you want to call us, you're welcome to call us at the office. If you want to say, I just heard the broadcast from Jeremy, and he encouraged us to get the School of Financial Perception and Mental Economics, I want to get it on a digital download course. And that way we can send it to you instantly. Call my office to order it. It's 205-362-7133. That's 205-362-7133, and they can process your order on the phone, send you the link instantly, and you can upload it to your computer and have all these teaching and hours and hours and hours of teaching modules, DVD, which is MP4s, and my ebook, and you can graduate from the course and get certified. So I would encourage you to do that, amen? So have a blessed time, blessed day today. Don't forget to go to the website or call my office to order it, and you will learn how to prosper in every area of your life. Until next time, have a great day.